whoever we are. And we've already seen, really the main point of the sermon, that you might feel insignificant in the great scheme of things. But we can make all the difference in the world, wherever we are, whatever we do, on our front lines, first and foremost because we are children of God. We are a son or a daughter of the King. And your value and your worth and your significance and our life on the front line flows from our identity in Him. One of the activities this morning, which we didn't do, was suggested was that I give you a piece of paper and a pencil, which you could have used these, and you write down what your front line would be this week. And what you would be doing in that front line. Think about what you would be doing, who you would be meeting with, you know, what work or whatever you would be about, and how you feel about that. And after you thought about that, then to ask you, what difference would it make if in front of what you'd written, you wrote, as a child of God, I'm going here, there, I'm meeting him, her. What difference would that make to you? And of course, the hope is, and the truth of what we're saying, is that we go, don't we, as children of God. We go. You know, he goes before us, he comes behind us, he carries us, he do you know, he's within us. We're his. And so today, also along with the pencil, you'll have another postcard which has got all loads of words on telling you who you are in God. Sons, daughters, image bearers, heirs, first fruits of God's creation, friends of Jesus, a blessing, brothers, sisters, citizens of heaven. I could go on for ages, and I won't. You'll get one for yourself on the way out, if I remember. So if I don't, please nudge me and tell me. So, the verse that has been chosen to reflect on this theme is one that you'll know. You think you don't know any scripture? You'll know this one. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Just one verse. You'll know it. You might not be able to call it to mind just now, but you'll know it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Did you know it? Yes, you did. You occasionally hear, don't you, stories of people who receive letters, and the address on the front is something like, you know, Mr. Smith, Wokenham. And yet somehow the postman, post office, manages to find the place where Mr. Smith in Wokenham lives. I remember my wife, Jan, on Father's Day, always sends her Uncle Peter a card, because him and his wife, Sylvia, are childless. And she being the only niece, therefore the favourite niece, apparently, would send her Uncle Peter a card on Father's Day. Now, this one year, the plan was to visit her Uncle Peter. So she just put on the envelope, Dear Uncle Peter. And then circumstances arose and we thought we wouldn't be able to make that visit. So she said, oh, she had the card with her and she said, oh, you know, I can't remember the number. I'll just put Quaerdon Park, Leyland, because that's where they live. And I said, Dear Uncle Peter, Quaerdon Park, Leyland, never find that. She said, oh, well, I can't remember the number. And then just then the phone rang, and it was, and we didn't have to not go, if you see what I mean. So in the end, we went and presented him this card that had on the front, Dear Uncle Peter, Quaerdon Park, Leyland. Now, what he thought of that address on the front, I've no idea. What the postman would have thought of that address on the front, if it had been posted, I've no idea either. Where am I going with this, you're probably wondering? Well, it's a bit like this line in the prayer, isn't it? The Lord's Prayer. The opening line of the Lord's Prayer. It's got the address in heaven. It's got the relationship, a bit like dear Uncle Peter, it's our Father in heaven. It's how we feel about him as well, isn't it? So dear Uncle Peter, in this case, hallowed be your name. See, at one level, it's his name and address, isn't it, and how we feel about him. At another level, of course, because this is God we're speaking about here, there's much more to it. The Lord's Prayer comes in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel, is teaching about prayer. He said a few sentences about where and how and what, and then he says, this then is how you should pray. Luke includes it in a bit where one of the disciples comes to Jesus and says, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. And the Lord's Prayer, as you'll know, is a brief prayer, but it's all encompassing. It begins with God, his name and address. It carries on to our needs, our sins forgiven, our daily bread to be kept from evil and out of temptation. And of course, it ends with God. It's topped and tailed with thinking about God. Yours be the glory, the kingdom, the power. It's a great pattern for prayer, isn't it? Not just to recite, although that's an important thing to do, to recite the Lord's Prayer from time to time, but also for every prayer we pray, you know, to begin with God. Then to think about our needs and the needs of others, and then to end with God as well. But it's this first line that's our focus today. And we'll start just briefly by looking at God's address. Our Father in heaven. Because this straight away marks him out as different to us. Now we know, don't we, that we sung about this morning. I prayed this morning. That he's present everywhere on earth, you know, with us all of the time. But his dwelling place, his home, is heaven. He's a spiritual being. And so this speaks, doesn't it, of his majesty and his glory and his honour. He's above and beyond our earthbound existence. And if we're honest, he's above and beyond the limits of our puny imaginations to even begin to comprehend what he's like and what heaven is like. There's a picture in Revelation, of course, of the throne room, and the one who sits on the throne has the appearance of shimmering stones with a rainbow of emerald surrounding him and a sea of crystal before him, of heavenly beings worshipping and singing and praising this God. But, how can you describe something like that? It will pale into insignificance, I'm sure, with the reality when we get there. And if we throw on top of all of that the theology that we glean from Scripture, to speak about God's sovereignty, to speak about his eternity, to speak about his almightiness, to speak about his purity, if we say that his spirit, and he's any time, any place, anywhere for each one of us, the mind just begins to boggle, doesn't it? This is an amazing picture, not just of heaven, but of the one who dwells there. As the end of the Lord's Prayer agrees, thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory. He is amazing. He is an awesome God in heaven. And yet, he is our Father. This is even more amazing, isn't it? We just described this great big God. And, you know, you'd expect, wouldn't you, that if we were to come into the presence of this God, that we'd have to do even more than people have to do when they come into the presence of the Queen, for example. Do you watch The Crown? Anybody watch The Crown? Yeah. Series 3? Yeah. One or two nods still. Started there. You can pick it up on Netflix, not a problem. Other subscription services are available, obviously, so, yeah. But they're up to Harold Wilson now. Prime Minister is Harold Wilson, and he'd just been elected in and come into his first meeting with the Queen. And the Queen's equerry, or whatever he is, has listed off all these instructions for poor Harold. Don't speak until you're spoken to. You must bow. Don't shake your hand until she offers her hand out. Don't turn your back on her. Don't sit down until she sits down and beckons you to sit down. A whole string of things. Then he wandered off, and Harold Wilson's left standing there, waiting for the Queen to enter. And he's reciting these things over and over again, what he had to do so he didn't make a mistake. You could see he was really nervous. I know it's only a story. But you know, for the Queen, that's what you have to do. How much more, then, if we come into God's presence, would you expect that we'd have to lie on our faces, that we'd have to beg for mercy from him? But instead, we can call him Father. Instead, we have this relationship with him like we'll never have with the Queen. We are children of this God. And how's that possible? How can worthless sinners come before an awesome, holy God in this way? Well, you know, don't you? Because God himself has dealt with our sin, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live on earth, to show us the potential of human life lived with the Father in heaven. He came as one of us. He died for all of us. He offered his life, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We believe, we trust in his sacrifice, and we receive that forgiveness, and we can come to God, call him Father, come as his child. Well, there's a lot of silence going on at the moment in this congregation, because this is stunning, isn't it? Just think about it. The God who created everything, who sustains everything, to whom all things will come to an end. And we can climb up on his knee, as it were, and call him Daddy, as his child. I know for some, the word Father might have a negative connotation if your father has been stern or strict or cruel or abusive or absent, perhaps. But not so with God the Father. The Bible is full of descriptions of the perfect Father that he is. He's compassionate, he's patient, considerate, he's loving, he's gentle, he's caring, he's forgiving, he's wise, he's just, he's gracious, and he loves us enough to discipline us, to help us to learn through difficult situations, to grow and mature in difficult times through our trust in him. You see, we're special. The Father God delights in us. He sings over us. He has time for us. He hears our prayers and he answers them in accordance with his good and pleasing will. It's amazing. It's no wonder we say, "Hallowed be your name." To hallow something is to regard it as sacred, to reverence something, to worship something. Hallowed be the name of the Almighty God, who we can call Father. One word we haven't touched on in the sentence, the word our. Easy to pass over it, isn't it? In fact, if you read through the Lord's Prayer, there is no I or me. All the pronouns are our. What did I say then? There's no I or me. Did I say that? There's no I or me. All the pronouns are our, we, us. It is a prayer that we say as individuals. It is a prayer that we sometimes say alone. But this first word reminds us that we're not the only child of our Heavenly Father. We're just one of many brothers and sisters in Saltersford, in the worldwide family, down through the ages. People who love the Lord, people who share the same blessings, people who stand together in unity as a family, singing hallelujah together as one. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And the rest of the prayer just develops really what this first line starts. We want his name to be hallowed. And so we say that. We want this awesome king's kingdoms to come on earth as it is in heaven. We want his will to be done as it is in heaven here on earth. And do you know how he's chosen to bring this about? You do, don't you? This is where you put your head down, look the other way, okay? He's chosen to bring about his kingdom on earth and to make his will done on earth as it is in heaven through you on your front line. Scary? Yeah. But we've got endless resources at our disposal. And the next part of the prayer taps into them. It's about being dependent on God, isn't it? For everything. For our daily bread. For the forgiveness, ongoing forgiveness of our sins, that we remain, you know, faithful and Christ-like. That we forgive others. Massive part of this prayer that, again, we often overlook. That he takes us not into temptation, but out of evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. You see, this is his work, but he does it through us. And it's not about trying harder. It's not about trying to impress him. It's not about any of that. It's about allowing the resurrection power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is present within us, that he can work in and through our lives as we trust in him, as we go where he tells our front lines. And so you see, we do this, the point of today is we do this, we go to our front lines in the days of this week, standing on the foundation of who we are in him. We are children of God. So we'll say the Lord's Prayer, and then there's the prayer for today as provided by the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. And then there's a video. So did you watch the video last week while I was away? Do you remember? You did? So there's four people in these videos. One guy's a football coach for kids. One lady looks after her grandchildren. One guy's a plumber, I think. I can't remember what the young woman is. Office. Works, that's right. Works in an office, doesn't she? So the same four people are reflecting on their day. We'll watch that in just a moment. But firstly, let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And again, let's say together. Thank you, Father God, for your amazing grace expressed to us in Jesus Christ. May we increasingly know the breadth and depth of your love for us as your Spirit roots this truth in us through our daily lives. As we are scattered this week, we pray that you will shape us in the likeness of Christ, for we are your handiwork, created to bring you joy and to be your people in the world. Amen.